It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well, as we speak, people are going to the polls today for the Region 1 budget referendum that's taking place in all six towns, as we know. That is for the expenditures for Housatonic Valley Regional High School, pupil services, which is basically special ed, and for the central office, which is the superintendent's office, and the costs of operating that as well. The budget being proposed is $19.5 million. There were no comments at the public hearing. I guess people are okay with it. And
compare to last year.
It's a 5.67% increase.
That's a pretty big increase.
So,
where does that pan out from? Is that from the high school, from the central office, from pupil services, or just generally across the board?
Well, we can go through it. The high school portion is an increase of 2.99%, and that's up $273,000. The pupil services is up, well, that's the biggie, 7.82%, up $588,000. And as you know, that's always questionable because you never know whether you're going to have to send kids out of district, which is very expensive if their needs can't be met within the school district, those outside placements. So obviously they're looking at that, and excuse me, but again, if a student moves in the middle of the year that needs outside placement, that budget will go up. Hopefully it won't, but that's always a question. And RSSC is an increase of 10.22%, but that's a smaller budget, so it looks bigger, but the increase is $186,000.
And for those who don't know, what is RSSC?
That is the central office. So that's the operation of administrative and support functions, such as the superintendent's salary, the assistant superintendent, and things that come out of that office.
Business manager. You said that's 100,000 up, roughly?
186,000.
Are they adding somebody into the staff there? How many staff do they have in that office now? Do you know offhand?
I don't. There are, you know, the three top heads, the superintendent, assistant, and business manager. And then there's office staff. And I don't know how many are in there.
And the only reason that I'm mentioning this is for the listeners who have absolutely no clue. There's nothing that can be done. It's voting day, but just be aware that these are amount that this is your money at work. So maybe next year.
And assessments are based on the number of students each town sends to the high school. That's also a confusing sometimes.
Well, that's because, too, that's also a year offset as well. Those numbers come from a previous year.
Those numbers come from the October 1st enrollment.
Yeah. So
yeah.
you're working on a different
last
enrollment
year,
when the budget actually is in place.
Based on October 1st. It takes place July
right.
1. Yeah.
It takes place, yeah. And that's this year's October 1st, but this budget is
starts June, July 1.
Yeah, yeah, July 2026 into June of 2027.
Correct.
So you're working on numbers, the official numbers from 2025, excuse
2025,
me.
Yeah.
That's always been a confusing point to everybody. And sometimes because those numbers can shift very dramatically, People sometimes don't know exactly what they're going to be paying out when they're trying to plan the local budgets as well, because there again, that's something that can shift markedly.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? It's I don't know. It's
If you
I'm
had
especially concerned though about the. I wish I had, well, I haven't been paying attention, so that's my own fault. But that increase in the central, these offices that we have running things seem to just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And even though we're contracting in the amount of students we have more and more administrators.
Doesn't matter because it's voting day.
Well, I
That's what I do.
understand that,
But
but we,
there
we could
also,
chat about it this morning. It doesn't matter.
but there are also, I mean, back when there weren't these requirements from the state
Well,
and
that's true too. Yeah, the unfunded mandates,
all those, which
they
grow,
grow
and
anyway.
nor did you have computers and all those things. So, you have to look at it in a 2026 version. So it's difficult. I feel for everybody. I understand it's hard for those fixing up this budget, and those who have to pay for it. But it's an interesting little note here. All the towns, as we said, it's based on their student enrollment at the high school, all are increasing except for Sharon, which is showing a decrease.
We'll
And
see
they
what the state has to say about that.
and the it's very interesting. So we'll
Well,
see.
all right.
And they're
So,
at town hall. Every one of these votes is at the town hall in their
and
respective towns. Yep.
as we speak, the polls are not open until noontime.
That's correct.
That's right.
Noon to
Noontime
8.
today. Okay. Noontime today.
Till
Oh.
8 o'clock. Till
Okie
8 o'clock.
dokie. Well, as Jill continues to remind us, and she's right, we can't do a damn thing about it now. So, it's
Well,
whoever's
if people are
going.
listening now, they
Well,
can
yeah,
still go out and vote.
you got to put your shoes on the road noontime till 8 p.m. at each town's town hall.
Correct. Okay.
All right. Time to move
There
on
was,
to something else.
well, if you're a sports person, there was a nice story we have about Caleb Spurr, who is a Housatonic graduate and just got signed with the Detroit Tigers baseball team. And those signings are always so exciting here. Housatonic has a legacy of kids going on to big leagues. And it started back in the days of Ed Kirby and Steve Glass and John Lamb and Parsons, Tom Parsons. And so it's kind of fun when a small town high school, small high school, can see its kids go high with their talent. And let's hope he makes it to the major
Well, yeah,
team.
that's
And what's even better
dope.
about that, and really talk about statistics, okay? It's pretty impressive. And for the movies are made of situations like this. So that's how big a deal it is, by the way.
Not to
Right.
mention that it pays really good money when you get up there, too.
These dreams, kids have dreams.
It takes a while to have access to that. Just as with anything, even as the zeros keep getting, packed onto the end, it takes a while to get into a position where you're even entitled to that. So the great news is that you made it to the big leagues. Good job. Fantastic.
Very exciting. So there's lots of news going on with different items. We're talking about food trucks in Kent. We're talking about the library expansion in Kent. We're talking about all the towns that are, I think all the towns are doing something for the 250th. Everybody's gearing up for that, which is the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence 250 years ago. And I'm looking forward to see how creative these towns are going to be.
Right about 2 months out on that right now, believe it or not. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, but it's already
It is.
started. I mean, the Canaan had its Washington's Day Ball, which was a real hoot with costumes and things. There are exhibits all over the Sharon. I remind people about revisiting Independence at the Sharon. Independence Revisited, the exhibit going on at the Sharon Historical Society. There are going to be book talks all summer long, book discussions. There's going to be, I think, a parade here in camp. The whole 4th of July weekend is going to be geared toward that. And I'm sure there's plenty of other things that'll come along as we get closer.
Yeah,
So.
I'm imagining the 4th of July celebrations everywhere will be a bit more of an event than they are in a regular year's.
Yeah,
250th being a milestone, so
I
that's a good
think
thing.
Lou Bucherri has been ahead of the game. He's been reading the Declaration of Independence at
Oh,
the
he's been
Grove
doing.
every July 4th. So
I
this
think he was there when they wrote it. No, that's why he can just say it right out of his head.
he's great. He comes
He's been
dressed
doing
up.
that as long as I can remember. He's been doing that, and
It's
that's not a long time.
wonderful. That's a great thing. So I'm sure they'll be doing something special at the Grove that July 4th, to add to that.
Now,
So,
just real quick, you mentioned something about food trucks in Kent. What exactly are they talking? Are they talking about regulating them, or is this
they're
just
talking about banning them.
banning them?
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a move on to the, get an ordinance to ban them because the local restaurateurs are feel, that it's unfair. And
You
so
get a lot of food trucks down there?
there's, well, we get occasional requests. So they there's one coming in that has come in, and that has spurred on this ordinance, perhaps.
Would that include when you have special events or organizations have big events and bring in food trucks, will they still be able to, or is that taken
That
off the table too?
I don't know. I have not read the proposed. I don't even know if it's, I mean, they've been talking about it. I don't know if the ordinance is even printed yet, but they are talking about it. That's always been an issue. I can remember Salisbury dealing with it, and didn't they ban them except on, they banned them on public property, I believe, and then you had to have permission for it on a
Permit.
private property. I'm trying to
Yeah, I
think that.
can't recall that exactly. I'd have to go back and look that
Yeah,
one up.
I
But
remember them. That was a discussion, and I don't know. I think Sharon, I think, allows it because they have one down at the Valley Tavern, I believe.
yeah, they do.
Yeah, and there was Canaan
But
must have.
Sharon, by the way, does not have a ton of restaurants.
But also too, that one that's always parked right there at the tavern as well, isn't it? It's more like a part of the tavern as
I
opposed
think,
to it
they wanted
being.
to provide food for
It's
to go along.
not a moving food truck, so.
As such, and that's something just like, you go back to, this is how old I am. You go back to Napster and free music. Hey, your music's free. Okay. I mean, you see what happens when you put in something, bring a food truck, bring people. People will go to the food truck, which is fine. It's great for the food truck. But you have businesses, who would also like to have those people. I mean, there are arguments for both sides, but there definitely needs to be an understanding of what the affect is, because again, many, many businesses attempt to make their year basically with the influx of people. So. I think Canaan must allow it because they had them at the when the brewery was there. So
Yeah, well,
I
for
think.
events in the towns, especially the ones in Connecticut, I don't know about our friends in Mass or New York. Ever since they went with this idea that you can't sell foods out in public unless they've been made in a commercial kitchen, they've essentially taken away the people's ability to do private like that. So the food trucks for the events is the way that they can have food at the events. So I'm hoping they don't look to at least ban that part of it.
Yeah, I think Cornwall has it because of the regs. If you remember last year, 2 years ago, Cornwall had to shut down all its events because the food wasn't coming from commercial kitchen, and they brought in food trucks. So
And that's, yeah, that's
But
right.
that
That,
was for a specific event.
well, that, but that illustrates, you know, you think like when we used to have the chili cook-off on the White Hart Lawn in Salisbury during, you know, festival, and you can't really do it anymore because people don't have access nor necessarily the time. It was a good, fun event when it was there and lots of chilies and stuff, but, you know, when you confine them to commercial kitchens, it's not like we have them all over the place for just free use. So,
That's a conundrum too.
yeah.
I mean, because
Bake
bake
sales and stuff
sales,
like that. I mean,
ways of nonprofits making some money and
exactly. They've totally impeded that part of the puzzle for nonprofits. Sometimes I need to rethink some of these things because.
I'm sure that wasn't on purpose, by the way.
All right. All
Related.
right. Any last minute things for anybody to toss in here? We're coming up
Yeah, I just
on
want to
time.
point out this Thursday, this conservation commissions from several towns are hosting a talk by Alan Cockerline on farming at the White Hart at 6 p.m. That's Thursday evening. The Little Guild ground, well, it's not a ground, open house, whatever.
Grand
Grand
opening, you
opening. There
think.
you go. Grand opening is from 11 to 2 in Cornwall. And come and see the brand new spiffy
Yes.
animal shelter. That's really,
We've seen it from the outside, and we're going to be
yeah.
talking with the chief person at the guild on Wednesday, so you'll be
Oh,
able to catch
good.
it here on
Okay.
Thursday and Friday for interviews, and
Yep.
they'll
So
tell you
that's
more
so.
about what's coming.
When is the old grand opening?
Saturday.
11 to 2 on Saturday. So there's plenty to be doing this weekend.
Yes, there is. Well, time to take us home.
So, with that being said, thank you. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, adventurous, intrepid, all over out there person and reporter on Robin Hood Radio.